is Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game. The Titans are on the practice field. I would assume they're inside the bubble today on a rainy, cold day as they get set to take on the Indianapolis Colts. Titans return to practice today. Vrabel and Mariota in about 15 minutes or so. GM, how are you on this horrifically gross-looking day outside?
Boy, it's a little cool, a little damp out there. I mean, it's not your ideal, but I'm outstanding.
I was going to say, you're not outstanding.
I'm outstanding.
Good. You know how I feel? I'm nervous. I'm scared. I'm worried. Kind of in a dark place right now.
Sounds like it.
Do you want to talk about it?
It depends on what it's about.
It's about the Indianapolis Colts.
Oh.
I'm worried about the Indianapolis Colts. And the reasons I'm worried about the Colts have nothing to do with the Colts. They're strictly about the Titans. And I know you love Andrew Luck's stats and how they're scoring 85 points a game against Oakland and Jacksonville, and that's great. But it's not that that worries me. It's that I remember the Philadelphia game followed by the Buffalo game. I remember the Charger game when they played great, except they were lollipopping touchdowns over the wide receiver, over the corner's heads, and you lose on a two-point conversion. And so even though none of my worry is actually about the Colts, it is a severe worry about the Colts. This game scares the daylights out of me, and I know exactly why, and it's because I just don't trust the Titans.
Well, I mean, that may be a part of it, but this Colts team, I mean, we have really, really undervalued them, I think, all year long. I mean, I think this team is much, much better than we're giving them credit for. They've won four in a row. I mean, the quarterback is playing great ball. He's not getting sacked. He's been sacked 10 times all year long. I mean, the ball is coming out instantly. The receivers are catching it, or the tight ends are catching it and running with it. They've got two running backs that are averaging 5.5 yards a carry. The defense is not – they've got some pass rushers.
Sound like the coach at the press conference.
They've got a middle linebacker that is really, really leading the league in tackles as a rookie. And they're playing just a real safe, conservative, not make any mistakes on defense, you know, make you go the length of the field and hope that at some point in time you kind of mess up.
So here's why I'm not really scared about the Colts. I agree with you, or why I'm not scared about them as a team. I am scared about the game, you know, to a T. But, I mean, yes, they've won four in a row. The four teams they beat, the Jets, the Bills, the Raiders, and the Jags. You know, I mean, none of those teams are any good. Not one bit good at all. Jets, Bills, Raiders, Jags. Honestly, that's probably four of the six worst teams in the NFL. The Cardinals are in there somewhere, and I don't know, throw somebody else in there. Like that, Cleveland. Like that's what – so I'm not worried about that. They gave up 34 points to the Jets, if I read that right. No, excuse me, they lost to the Jets. So they've only won three in a row. They lost to the Jets. They gave up 42 points to the Jets. The Jets. They gave up 28
Jets,
to Oakland.
Jets beat Buffalo by about 30 points.
No, Buffalo beat the Jets by about 30 points.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Buffalo hammered us.
Now, they gave up 5 points to Buffalo. That is what it should. I mean, you gave up 12 points or 13 points to Buffalo, but basically five. I mean, I'm not worried about the Colts. I mean, Luck is a great player. I'm not taking anything away from him, but I don't think that team is good enough yet for them to really do anything. On the flip side, I don't think you're good enough to just roll your helmet out there on Sunday and beat the Colts. And for some reason, like, there's a part of me that wants to be optimistic about this game and say, okay, you know, at least I believe there's something a little bit there that they learned their lesson from the Eagles game to the Bills game. After the Patriots game, all the guys, Lawan and Byard and Mariota, they were all talking like, hey, you know, this doesn't have anything to do with next week, and we can't be satisfied with this game. And I hope that they actually approach this week that way. But it's like I was talking to Ryan before the show today, and Ryan was like, He's like, I just don't trust that Vrabel's going to be able to get the guys to focus the way he got them to focus last week. And I totally agree with that line of thinking. Like, that sentiment of there's no way they're going to be able to focus on the game plan, and it's on the road. And it's just, I think it just boils down to the fact that I don't trust the Titans. I just don't trust them. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, or if that's...
If you don't trust somebody, it's probably not a good thing.
You don't trust the Titans either, though, do you?
Oh, yeah. I think they learned their lesson. I mean, I have confidence in them. Now, I don't know if they're going to be good enough to go in and win. I mean, I don't know if they are in fact better than Indy.
So you trust them to not throw out a Buffalo?
Yeah, I think they'll go up there and they'll play. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt now. I mean, they've been through this. So, you know, just three, four short weeks ago. So hopefully they've matured from that. I'm sure Michael will remind them constantly of that. So I think that's going to be an issue. I mean,
Keyword of what you just said, though, was hopefully.
Yeah, well, I mean, we have never beaten this guy. And we can say whatever we want, but having been in these kind of situations in the league, that is a plus for them. That is a plus for him, because he's, in spite of everything, saying, you know what, this team's never beaten me. 11 times. It's 11? I think it's 11 games. No, it's got to be more than that even.
No, it's 11.
Is it 11?
Yeah.
Okay, 11 games we've never beaten. And it's like we were talking yesterday about Marcus has 7 TDs. He has 26. They're playing the same game, same number of games. Check it. See, is it 26?
Well, I'm just, my whole thing on this, though, is you have the number one defense and he has the 26th defense.
Is it 26 TDs?
Andrew Luck has 26 touchdowns, 9 picks.
26 touchdowns. Marcus has 7. Marcus has 5 picks. He has, what'd you say?
9.
9. I mean, they're playing the same game with the same people. I mean, like you said, they're
but he doesn't have the number one defense
like
on his side.
They have, you know,
he's playing
Hopkins,
Oakland.
Hopkins running up and down the field.
He's
doesn't
playing
have
Oakland.
Any of those
he has
guys.
T.Y. Hilton.
He's got tight ends. He's lighting them up with tight ends.
With he's lighting
Doyle,
Oakland
with
up.
Ebron and Doyle.
Congratulations,
he
you beat Oakland.
He is lighting them up. Ebron has more touchdowns than Marcus has touchdown passes. And Ebron was cut by Detroit. Cut. Couldn't play. And a number one draft choice. Could not play.
Have you seen
the
guys that were picked after Ebron
drafted
in the draft?
Him? And he goes to this team. I mean, he's going to the Hall of Fame.
Have you seen the guys picked after Ebron in that draft?
No.
Like, in a row, it's like Taylor Lewan, Odell Beckham, Aaron Donald, Kyle Fuller, CJ Mosley, like, just studs. Like, the highest paid offensive lineman, highest paid wide receiver, highest paid defensive player, highest, like...
And he's cut.
But, again, like, I don't care, those stats are put up against Oakland and the Jets and the Bills, and I could not care less about those games. Start beating teams that are good. They haven't done that this year. They have one win against a semi-decent team, and that was week 2 against Washington. So that's one decent team, maybe, that they've beaten. Everybody else, they've lost to. And so I'm not really worried about them. And again, their defense is 26th in the league. Yours is number one.
You need to be.
I'm worried
number
about
one,
the Titans this week.
Are we number one or number six?
According to what you said before the show... So there's two ways to judge it, yards and points.
Oh, there's a bunch of ways to judge it.
But the way that it's judged is usually yards, right?
I mean, usually when people talk about it, they talk about yards.
But you said that you're supposed to be able to count it as whichever one you're best at.
Sure.
Okay, so if we're saying the Titans are the number one defense in the league, then Indianapolis is 26th.
Where are they? Points. Where are they in yards?
23rd. So they're pretty crappy.
So we're sixth in yards, and they're 23rd.
Yeah. So basically, it's your defense versus their offense. Their offense is sixth
in
points,
and we've done pretty well against tight ends.
And they've done well
in the middle of the field.
Except for when they run that zone defense.
No, right in the middle of the field. There, we've shut them down pretty good.
Hey, Hollister and Dwayne Allen didn't do much last week.
Dwayne Allen left; he was crippled after the first quarter.
Hollister didn't do much last week.
And who's Hollister again?
their tight end. I'm just telling you. I am not worried about the Colts. I am worried about the game.
Remember this. He's not worried about the Colts. We got that in.
But I am worried about the game. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. Are you worried about the Colts? Or are you worried about the game? Plus, we will get to Mike Vrabel live at the podium after practice and Marcus Mariota. That is all coming up. We are live in the Game National Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. and Mount Juliet. It's Jared and the GM right here on ESPN 1025 The Game and streaming on the Game Nashville app. Jared and the GM, Mike Vrabel at the podium after practice. We will get to that when Vrabel does get to the podium. We'll have Vrabel and Mariota in whichever order they choose to go. Tomorrow, we will be live at True Rest Float Spa in Franklin. That's 100 International Drive, Suite 106. Stop by and enter for a chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Predators take on Arizona on Thursday, November 29th. That should be very exciting. I actually did the True Rest Float Spa. I did the float last week. Very relaxing. So we hope to see all of you out there tomorrow.
And what is a float?
So once you go in this little pod. And it's basically, it's water inside the pod with Epsom salt. And you float, and like, so, you know, Epsom salt is now like the new in thing or whatever. And I think they told me it's like 1,000 pounds of Epsom salt or something that's in there. And you literally float there for an hour. They play relaxing music. They've got an oxygen bar. It is a very relaxing kind of place if you've got sports injuries. They've had a pitcher from the Cleveland Indians was in there when I was in there. So it's just, it's that kind of place, just kind of relax. It is, it's great. Like I had a blast when we were there when I was there last week. Okay, so we are talking about the Titans and the Colts. And again, I am not worried about the Colts, but I am worried about the game. I just don't trust the Titans. I just do not trust them. Not that I foresee a Buffalo coming up. Like they'll probably play better than they played against Buffalo, but I just am so worried that they're just going to drop the ball and they're going to play like they played at Indianapolis last year, which if you remember was awful until the fourth quarter when Derrick Henry got in there and Derrick Henry got going. So I have a terrible feeling. Now you're all worried about the Colts because they pad their stats against Oakland and the Jets, but I am Oh, I'm worried about the game, not the team.
I don't know how you separate those, but I am worried about the Colts. I mean, big with a capital W, because we're getting to the point now where all these games are really, really important, and people are remembering Indy for what they have been the last couple of years without Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck is back.
So Corey Curtis from News 2 has called in, and he says he needs to talk to me about this game. Okay, why do you need to talk to me about this game, and it could not wait till Friday?
Because you've got a blindfold on, and you're walking the plank, and you're going to fall about 8,000 feet to your death, okay?
Why?
It's the National Football League. The difference between the Titans and the Colts is paper thin. How many points a game are the Colts scoring? Like 28?
Against Oakland and the Jets.
They've played 9 games.
And a bunch of them have been against Oakland. Oakland, Jacksonville.
Redskins' defense is really good.
Whose defense is really good?
The Redskins' defense is good.
That was week two. That was September.
I'm just telling you, look, if they win the coin flip and Andrew Luck goes 75 yards down the field and scores, it's 7-0. And just like that, you're playing from behind. Taywan Taylor bats one up in the air. Malik Hooker races 28 yards for a touchdown. You're down 14-0, and you're in a world of hurt.
Yes, that is what I am worried about. Like in the Buffalo game, Taywan Taylor fumbles the ball off. And Floyd, you called it all week, saying the worst thing that could have happened in the Buffalo game was to fumble right away, and Taywan Taylor fumbles right off the bat. And that's what I mean by me being worried about the game and not necessarily worried about the Colts. Like, if the Titans show up and don't fumble, they'll be fine.
Make plays.
Against
all
Oakland.
Right? Malik Hooker can make plays. Leonard can make plays. Eric Ebron, I loved coming out of the draft. Just because Detroit didn't know how to use him doesn't mean he's not talented. That sucker is big and strong and fast, and he has found a home in Indianapolis, and they are crushing it with those two tight ends. Listen, the corners – can't lock those guys down. They're going to be busy on the outside. The linebackers and the safeties have their hands full in this game. It's a whole different challenge. The quarterback is much more mobile. The guy's got like 26 touchdowns. I don't know how you can disrespect what's happening.
Would you not agree with me that the Oakland Raiders might be the worst team in the NFL?
They are one of the worst teams I've ever seen in my entire life.
Okay, it was 28-28 with 5 minutes to go against the Colts.
Yeah.
Oakland can't get a first down against a backup quarterback San Francisco team on a Thursday night, and they were 28-28 in the fourth quarter.
He's got the blindfold on, Corey.
They've got three more wins on top of that.
Yeah, against Jacksonville, who's quit, against the Bills. I mean, I know, but again, you didn't lose to Buffalo. You lost to you that day by not playing well.
I will say that if the Titans go and they play their game, they're probably going to win. But to think that this Colts team doesn't have any players, I think is foolish. I mean, they've done a very good job very quickly of bringing some guys in there who have changed what's happening. I mean, I don't know if you've seen what Quentin Nelson has been doing.
No, he's good.
He's a very bad man.
And I appreciate your call, Corey. He's good. Yeah, I mean, Quentin Nelson is killing people out.
Quarterback has been sacked 10 times.
You think there was an edict to the general manager of, hey, protect Andrew Luck so he doesn't get sacked?
10 times.
Because wasn't he getting sacked like 10 times a game?
He hasn't been sacked in 4 games.
Well, he's playing Oakland.
I don't care.
Well, if you sack the quarterback in Oakland,
they cut
you.
You make it sound like we've played all dynamos. I mean, you forget Baltimore, you forget the Bills, you forget, I mean, you know what, if they're Jared and Floyd and Indy are saying, they can't even beat the Bills. They can't even beat the, I mean, so I don't get into all that. You know, well, they played so-and-so back when, and then they play, I don't care. Who were you the day we played you? That's all I'm interested in. And this team right now, with your attitude, if you were one of the players, you would get your butt kicked.
No, I have the perfect attitude.
You would get smashed by this team on Sunday.
No. My thing, as far as the players are concerned,
if the players have your attitude,
is I am worried
they will get licked.
I'm worried about the players having the attitude of, well, we'll just roll up there and beat Indianapolis. That attitude is the attitude you can't have.
Or that Indianapolis is really bad.
I don't think they're really bad. I just don't think they're good.
They've just beaten Oakland. That's all they've done. And we just beat New England. What are we worried about? Let's just roll our helmets out there and be good. Oh, no.
You cannot do that.
They lost Oakland. We just beat New England. What do we have to get worried about?
The players can't think like that. I can think like that. And I am worried that they will think like that, and that is why, as I said, I'm worried about the game. I'm so worried that these players will look at Indy, and they will see that, you know, Indy's not very good, and they're certainly not the Patriots, and Andrew Luck is certainly not Tom Brady, and all of that. Like, I totally agree. Like, I worry about those things. Yet at the same time, I am wondering if Vrabel, and it'll be interesting because you know Vrabel's going to go up and down and praise the Colts in the press conference when he gets to the podium. You know that Vrabel, all he's going to do is talk about the Colts like you're talking about the Colts.
And I hope rightfully so.
But
he needs to be talking about him just like I'm talking about him. I hope
that it gets through to the team. Like, I hope that line of thinking of, hey, you have to prepare the same every week. You have to prepare as hard as you prepared last week for New England is how you have to prepare for the Colts. I hope that gets through. It didn't get through after Philadelphia. And that's what I'm looking at this week is that going to get through? And I don't know the answer to that. I mean, this is a much bigger thing than a Mike Vrabel thing. The Titans are the poster child in this league for going out and having a good win and following it up with a bad loss. And that's why it scares me.
I don't know.
Oh, it so scares me. Is this where you go on this thing of like, you only think it happens to the Titans?
I don't know. I'm done with that.
What?
I'm done.
I mean, we agree on the fact that we're both worried about this game, right?
I'm worried about the game.
I am too.
I'm worried about Indy. Indy is a much, much better team than you're giving them credit for. I'll just leave it at that.
What
much
kind of
better
team? Are they a playoff team?
They could be, yeah. They could easily finish better than we are. They could. They will challenge before it's all said and done. They'll probably challenge Houston, unless we can bury them. I mean, unless, you know, it's over. But, I mean, other than that, I mean, they are on fire right now.
If Indy gets into the playoffs, it'll be a 9-7.
They think they are a really good team right now.
Yeah, that does bother me a little bit. Because when a team starts to think that they're a good team, then, you know, that's always at least. But then again, sometimes when you think you're a good team, you don't prepare as hard, i.e. the Titans. And we just don't know the answer to that. And that is what I am so, so, so worried about. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. I think you and I kind of feel the same way, but you're stuck in the whole, like, coach, GM thing of like, you know, hey, whenever it's a team like the Patriots, all you do is talk them down. Like, of course you can play with the Patriots. And then when it's a team like the Colts, it's like, oh, no, those Colts are really, really good. And then if the Titans go out there and beat them 31-13, you're going to be like, you're just going to just move
how
on.
How many touchdown passes does Tom Brady have?
I have no idea. You didn't spend all week talking about it, so how would I? I don't know. Why?
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Luck has more.
Okay, but who's a better quarterback?
I don't care. If one's scoring touchdowns, Jared, they are automatically going to be better.
So that's the only thing you hold a quarterback to is touchdowns?
No, but I would say it's pretty important.
Who do you think's a better quarterback?
I think the score is determined by touchdowns and field goals.
Then why does the team that has...
So if you score a lot of those seven-point plays... You got a chance to win a lot of games.
So then why does the team that scores the most not always win the championship?
I'm not talking about championship. I'm talking about a game. And if you
score, but you're asking for a season stat.
If you score a lot, how many does he have? You got it there?
17. So do you think, but that's, Floyd, that's so ridiculous and you know it.
10 more touchdowns.
9.
30 points. He has scored. They've scored 35 points in the last 3 weeks. They're averaging almost 30 points a game.
Oakland. If Brady played Oakland,
how many times have we scored 30 points?
Once.
There you go.
I don't get it.
That doesn't matter. Points don't matter.
The teams that score. if this were your logic, Detroit would be the number one seed in the NFC every year because Matthew Stafford throws for 9 billion yards a season. And you know how often Detroit finishes 7-9? I mean, Stafford's on what, his third coach now, his fourth coach? But Stafford, he throws a bunch of touchdowns, baby.
26.
So you're telling me that Mitchell Trubisky,
he is setting it on fire.
So by your guidelines of what makes a good quarterback, which is touchdown passes, by that
touchdown passes aren't important?
So by that
line of thinking, touchdown passes not important?
I think they're important.
Oh, are they?
But
what's more important than a touchdown pass?
Hold on. So
what's
let me
more
ask
important
you,
than a touchdown
let
pass?
Let me ask you, who's a better player? Who is a better player? Andy Dalton or Tom Brady? Who's the better player?
I would go with Tom Brady if it was me.
Andy Dalton has more touchdown passes.
Right.
No. I just want some. No. Hold on. Andy Dalton has more touchdowns.
What's more important than a touchdown pass?
Apparently nothing, because Andy Dalton is better than
Tom
Brady.
What is more important than a touchdown pass?
Winning the game.
I'm not hearing anything.
Winning the game?
And do touchdown passes lead to wins?
They can help.
Ah, okay. So we got that secret solved.
So Andy Dalton. So then by that logic, you have to say Andy Dalton is a better quarterback than Tom Brady.
Andy Dalton is. No, I didn't say that.
Yes, saying, you did. You said more touchdown passes
Andy
means better
Dalton,
quarterback. And Andy
Cincinnati
has more
is better than
Tom.
We are. We're out of the playoffs because of Cincinnati and Andy Dalton.
I'm not talking about the Titans. I'm talking about your line of that touchdown passes means better.
Any quarterback that can score a bunch of touchdown passes is going to win a bunch of games.
Okay. So why is Matt Ryan at 21 touchdowns, 4-5?
Because he needs to score 26 so he could be like Luck, and they would be 7-2.
So is Matt Ryan a better quarterback than Tom Brady?
No, I don't think so. But I'm a Tom Brady guy.
Is Jared Goff, but he's got more touchdown passes.
Yes.
Is
Jared Goff, yes.
Is he a better quarterback than Drew Brees?
Yes. No.
Well,
they're comparable.
Well, Goff has more touchdown passes, so according to your logic, Goff must be better.
And how many does Brees have?
21.
Okay.
But I'm just saying, like, again, you know, like
we have seven.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
We have seven.
It doesn't matter. Trent Dilfer has won a quarterback with the best defense in the league.
Seven. That's one a game.
Yeah, Steve McNair.
Seven.
Steve McNair went in and beat Peyton Manning in a playoff game, and I promise you, Peyton had a lot more touchdowns than Steve did. So does that mean that the Titans had no chance in that playoff game because Peyton was lighting it up and Steve wasn't?
Seven.
I think what's funny about this is you know how flawed what you're saying is.
It's, you think I'm flawed?
On this, yes.
You think I'm... Oh, now wait a minute. Think about this.
You just think stop. Andy Dalton
just
is better than Tom Brady?
Just quit talking for 1 second. You are trying to argue that touchdown passes aren't important.
No.
That's exactly what you're arguing.
No, you're arguing touchdown that they are the end-all, be-all.
I mean, they are as close to an end-all, be-all as there is in football.
But Andy Dalton's not a better quarterback than Tom Brady.
It's the closest to an end-all, be-all as there, that there is in football.
All right, we got to take your calls. 615-737-1025. We got to take your calls there. Plus, we will get Vrabel at the podium after practice. Plus, something that I pray is going to happen, but I'm not sure it's going to. We'll get to that as well. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 1025 The Game. Jared and the GM, we are awaiting Mike Vrabel. Chris Sanders, former Titans receiver, will join us in a little bit. We may have to check in with Chris here in a second. But, I mean, I'm sitting here, Colts, and I am shaking in my boots about how the Titans play after they win a game. I think you can agree with me on that. The Titans, traditionally over the last couple years, after they win those big games, the Ryan Succop game at Kansas City or the Eagles game or something like that, have gone out the next week and not played to the standard in which we would usually hope.
I'm going to try this one more time. Different than maybe New England that lost to us? Or different maybe than...
Definitely different than New England.
It's definitely different?
New England rolls off like 9 in a row.
But they lose to the Titans? Get smashed by the Titans?
Well, they may have some problems in New England. I don't know. But
so
New
they've
England,
got a problem.
New England wins a big game,
every
and they just roll off the next one.
Every team in the league does this. Every team. Except for the elite two or three. Now, I can't imagine Kansas City doing that, but it could happen. And I can't imagine the Rams doing it, but it could happen.
Well, like the Saints
but
beat the Rams, but then they didn't
go out
the next week.
If you go through and look at the league on a weekly basis, you're going to find some highly rated team that plays somebody they should beat, and they lose to them. Atlanta got smacked by Cleveland last week.
Yeah, but Atlanta's not good.
Smacked. So, is Atlanta better than Cleveland? The answer to that is yes. The answer to that is yes.
So, like, for example,
so I
the
think
Chiefs
you
beat...
go through and you see that on a weekly basis. Now, do I like it that it happens to the Titans? Heck no. Is it completely foreign to the NFL? Heck no. Happens all the time.
Let's go to your phones as promised as we wait for Vrabel. Steven is up next on the Colts. Thank you for calling. What's up, Steven?
Hey, guys. I look at this game, and I have the same feeling as you, Jared. I'm worried about it, and it's not because of the Colts. Anyone that thinks the Colts are actually a good team, or I don't know what it is, they're just gaga over Andrew Luck or something. That defense is atrocious. They haven't beat anybody. And in a game where you only play one game a week, it's about what have you done for me lately and what are you going to do this Sunday. The only way the Titans lose this week is if the Titans beat themselves. They are better offensively than their stats indicate. They've turned a corner since the bye, and their defense is just flat out good. The Colts have not played very many good defenses. And, yeah, they put up 29 points a game, but the Titans are starting to roll out 20-whatever-plus points a game, too. And maybe the Patriots don't have that many problems. Maybe the Titans are actually just becoming that good on offense and the defense is still matching its ferocity.
Okay, that's an interesting point. Thank you for your call, Steven. Do you think that there's a chance that the Titans' defense is really good and that the Titans' offense, and you were the one that said, hey, it's going to take time, it'll take a while for the offense to kick in, and that maybe the offense has kicked in and that the defense is still playing really, really well?
I mean, that's what we're hoping for. I mean, we're hoping that exact thing has happened. You know, now, have I seen enough proof to think that it has happened? No. But, I mean, we're, you know, over these next 7 weeks. You're going to be praying every week that this is just a continuation of what hopefully will be, you know, what an entire season looks like from now on.
I really wish this game was at home. Like, if I could flip the Colts home game. Now, maybe when you get to the end of the season, I think that's the last game of the year, right? The Colts? Yeah. When you get to the end of the season and you have to win it, you'll be glad that the Colts game is at home. But right now, I wish the Colts game was at home this week. Because I feel like if the Buffalo game had been at home after the Philadelphia game, they would have, after the initial screw-ups, would have gotten it together and won the game. And I hate playing at Indianapolis. Matt is up next here on Jared and the GM as we await for Vrabel. What's up, Matt?
Hey, got a couple different comments. My first comment is about that discussion y'all had with the quarterback and the touchdown passes thing. My philosophy on that is, yes, touchdown passes mean a lot. Not saying it don't. But it is on how you manage the game that makes you a great quarterback.
Okay, so I don't think anybody, and I appreciate your call, Matt, I don't think anybody disagrees with that line of thinking, do they?
I wouldn't.
I mean,
I think he's probably right.
I feel like there's a lot of things that go into being a great quarterback. The thing that I guess I've never gotten over is I always felt like Peyton Manning was a really, really good quarterback, who until they got kind of the defensive players to match it, they never had a truly great team. But once they got Bob Sanders and Dwight Freeney and all of those guys kind of together, then they had a good enough defense to win the Super Bowl, and he was a great quarterback. And I look around the league, and I wonder, okay, who has the teams that are capable of those kind of things? And, like, for example, Kansas City's defense isn't very good. I wonder if that will hurt them in a playoff game. Like, we know Kansas City's pretty good, but, like, I do wonder about, like, will that hurt them when they get into the playoffs, the fact that their defense isn't that good? I don't know. You know, Jared Goff, everybody loves Sean McVay and the Rams, right?
Yes.
Do you remember what the Rams looked like in the playoffs last year?
I really don't. No.
They were awful. Like, Atlanta just took them, you know, Atlanta walked in there and just beat them because Atlanta had a better defense. And so I guess the point I'm trying to make here is, I mean, there's two sides of the ball for a reason. Mike Vrabel's at the podium right now.
Does that maybe Marcus give Mariota you a chance to maybe expand and do a little bit more as the weeks go on?
We'll have to see. That's going to be up to Coach Matt, and I'd love to. I think the more that we can do that, it's tougher on defenses, but we'll have to see.
Marcus, some people have drawn parallels to the high of the win of Philadelphia the next week in Buffalo to what you guys have experienced now. What makes you feel like this team is more well-prepared to handle the success this time?
Well, we went through it. I think if you don't learn from your previous mistake, you know, that's foolish. So with that being said, guys are locked in. Just got to continue to have a good week of practice, focus on our process, and take it to Sunday.
What have you liked most, Marcus, about what you've seen out of this offense over the last couple of weeks?
Efficiency. I thought we've done a good job on third down. Definitely done a whole lot better in the red zone, being able to score touchdowns. If we can continue that, I think we've got a chance to be pretty good.
Is there a chip on your shoulder? On your shoulder just with the way Andrew Luck has played against this team?
Not really. I mean, that's all that's in the past. Can't dwell on it. Can't think about it. You got to focus on what's going on Sunday.
Do you feel like the confidence level is there for this team, and do you see that in the receivers and guys who are being asked to make plays?
For sure, for sure. And when it comes down to it, I think we can build off of it. We can continue to use the momentum. So guys are flying around. I thought today was good practice. Just got to continue to build off of it.
You and Matt both talked about maybe late in the week coming to consensus on some plays that you don't love that maybe wouldn't be featured or used. What goes into what makes a play something that you don't necessarily like? Is there something consistent there? Is it different things? Is it timing? Is it?
Yeah, I mean, it's a combination of different things. When it comes down to it, sometimes maybe it's getting more reps at it, shelving it, putting it on hold for a week so we can get more practice at it. So it just kind of depends. I mean, sometimes it's timing, sometimes it's just the feel of the play. If it's a new play, maybe you don't really have confidence in it just yet. So it's good that we're able to have those conversations, and I think it's benefited us.
Is there sometimes a certain kind of play doesn't feel right one week, and the next week it might feel good?
Yeah, for sure. I think being able to practice it a few more times helps out.
Coach LaFleur said that, you know, initially you weren't as willing to let him know what plays you like and don't like. Over time, what has allowed you to be at a better place as far as letting him know, you know, what works for you and what doesn't?
Well, I think I just feel as though I've gotten a better understanding of the offense, why we're calling certain things, maybe why he wants a particular play against a certain coverage. So having that understanding, I think, has allowed me to have confidence in going in and saying, hey, you know, maybe I don't really like that or I'm not feeling that, just because, you know, previously I didn't really, for some of the plays or some of the offense, I just didn't know what it would look like or how it would go out on the field. So I think having confidence in it, being in the offense a little longer, has definitely helped that.
Some of the RPOs, particularly the shovel to Johnny a couple weeks ago, but when you give the ball to Deion, there really is a moment where you both have it. I know there's potential for confusion there. How do you guys read it together when you're reading one thing and he's reading another, and how difficult is the decision in taking it back?
Well, it comes down to trust. I think those guys, they've got to run like they've got the ball, and they've got to trust the fact that I'm going to make the read that's going to be the right one. Sometimes, you know, out in practice, there's opportunities to talk through some of those things. But at the same time, it's a huge trust factor deal, because if you're seeing one thing and he's trying to hold on the ball, it tends to end up being a fumble or a turnover.
They have a pretty good grip on it. I mean, you have to pretty aggressively take it back for them to be selling it as they go?
No, not necessarily. I think that's what is, you know, out in practice, you're able to work those things. You know, you don't want guys clamping down on the ball, because then it is harder to pull it out, and sometimes those kind of force those fumbles. So being able to kind of be loose but firm, I think it's tough to put into words, but I think when you're out on practice, it's being able to build that trust, knowing that both of us are going to make the right decision.
You've been nominated for the Sportsmanship Award again this year. What does that mean, and was there ever a time when you were maybe a bad sport?
Well, it's an honor. I don't take those things very lightly, and you know, I'm just thankful. And I think everyone at some point in time has been a bad sport. I hate losing, so I think there's numerous times with my brother and I where I probably was a bad sport. But again, it's an honor and a privilege, and something that, you know, I'm grateful for.
I think you said maybe a year or so ago when the subject came up, your parents, if you were a bad sport, did your parents kind of show you the way when you were a young boy?
I would say so. Yeah, I mean, they always, win or lose, they always wanted us to treat the opponent or whoever we were playing, whether it was my brother or just with respect. Because it does take time and effort on both ends, whether it's a pickup game of basketball or a football game on Sunday. There is time and effort that's required, and people do dedicate that time, and just having the respect for what they've done and giving them the respect that they deserve.
How does extending plays and looking downfield as you extend plays, is that something you guys have been working on specifically, or has it been a point of emphasis?
Yeah, I mean, week in and week out, if you're able to do that, I think it's going to help. Sometimes it just comes down to just kind of, it's like playing pickup basketball. It's just a feel thing. And those guys, the receivers and the tight ends, have done a great job of finding kind of the open lane, finding some open space, and have created some big plays off of it.
The numbers have certainly been very good the last couple of weeks, Marcus. How much of a role do you think the health of the hand and ability to kind of ditch the glove and get the grip right, how much has that played a part?
Not a whole lot.
Marcus, you guys started so well with the two divisional wins, but that was a long time ago. How important is this game back in the division against Indy?
Very important. Any division game is huge, especially on the road. And if we have an opportunity to go out there and play well, we just got to continue to, again, build off of what we've done, use this process, grind it out. Don't look in the rearview mirror. Just focus on what we're doing today, being present, and I think we've got a shot on Sunday.
Marcus, we kind of see after every game you kind of just give out a commitment to the kids or go out of your way to sign the autograph. Was there ever anybody for you just growing up that sort of reached out to you in a similar way, somebody you looked up to, did that have an impact?
Well, growing up in Hawaii, man, it was a privilege. We had the Pro Bowl year in and year out. And when I was a kid, man, I'd go down to the NFL Experience, and you know, whether it was Hines Ward or just numerous players, Emmitt Smith. I mean, guys just kind of hanging around. I was one of those kids that was just there, and sometimes I'd get something signed, or I'd wait in line to get a mini helmet signed, and I just kind of remember those things. So for me, it's the least I can do, and just kind of show a little love for kids that show support to us. And I was just one of those guys, so it's kind of cool to be able to do that. Good. Thank you. Appreciate guys. It. Have a good one.
Marcus Mariota right there at the podium. We'll see if Mike Vrabel walks up right after Mariota or not. But I didn't even know Marcus was up for the Sportsmanship Award, so that's good.
Great.
Not sure how much I care about that. Here's Mike Vrabel.
Yeah, we were all wondering that ourselves.
I granted it to him. He's a media coordinator. Okay, Teresa.
Mike, Andrew Luck, 9-0 against this team.
Yep.
Do you bring that? How much do you bring that up?
About it this morning. We talked about how well they're playing, and the fact that they've won three games in a row, outscoring opponents, I think, in that time, 100 and something to 39, and 29 points a game, kind of everything they've done, amount of turnovers that they've created. How good they are on third down. Quarterbacks have only been hit 9 times in 4 games. You know, some quarterbacks get hit, do your job for you, Paul, but some quarterbacks been hit, 9 times in a game or a half. That's nine. Not exactly. We'll get to you in a second, but, they are really protecting him, and he never stares at a rusher, ever. I mean, his eyes are downfield, and some of those where he used to scramble, he's stepping up and he's still looking for guys. So he's extending plays, but he's extending them to throw, and that really is creating a lot of conversions for him on third down. So then after all that stuff, he's never lost to the Titans. So that they hopefully were very aware of the success that he's had against this organization.
Is it as simple as a talent upgrade in front of him, or are they doing things schematically to help keep him clean as well?
Well, I mean, I think that they, I've always thought that Anthony was a good left tackle. I've seen him. I've been in a division with him. I always thought that he was a good left tackle. It looks like Kelly is healthy and playing up to kind of his potential and what he would expect from himself and from the team. And then Galinsky's a grinder, good, strong. He's a physical player. And then they got, the young guys in there that are playing. Braden has played tackle in college, some played guard. He's playing right tackle for him. And then, obviously Nelson filling in. So they've all played together, so it's a consistent group. And, they're playing square. They're staying inside out and doing everything that you'd ask an offensive line to do.
There have been times when historical stuff about what this team had done before you were here, you've often said, it was before we were here, that it doesn't really matter, we're not focused on it. So I'm just curious about why him being 9-0 against you, it qualifies differently in the way you're looking at it.
I think that might be, maybe taken a little bit out of context. I think that there were certainly some other things that I think I might have said, that whether it be regarding practice or travel or, things like that. But again, I just wanted to point out his success against the Titans, some players that have been here and some players that haven't been here. Those are the facts, that he hasn't lost to the Titans as a starting quarterback.
Luck before, do you feel like he's being more cautious, because it seems like he's not putting himself, subjecting himself to as much contact when he is running with the ball?
I think that having seen him in the past, he's willing to stand in there and take any hit that's necessary for the betterment of the team. He was willing to do that to try to make a play, and at sometimes you just felt like maybe the journey was over, but for him it wasn't. He took a lot of hits, but he also made a lot of plays. And, it seems like that, now he's not scrambling. I mean, if it's there, he'll take off and he'll run. I mean, he's still a big, strong, fast, physical player. the play strength that he has, is really good for his position or for a lot of positions.
I like what you see from Vaccaro since he's been back. And does he kind of bring a little bit of an edge to his play?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's always been a physical player. I think, you know, he's, you know, he tackles well. He gets down there and, you know, did some good things for us last week. Had some things that need to get fixed, but, you know, it's good to see him tackle and play physical.
When Corey Davis has those two games this year that he's really broken out, Philadelphia in the last week, what has he done differently? Has he been able to get into space? How has he changed those particular games?
I think a lot of it, you know, depends on, you know, really the game. I think that Corey's best asset is that he's got good play strength and he really goes and attacks the football. And, you know, it all goes together. I mean, we have to be able to run the football to set up some of these play passes. And, you know, we have to be able to protect well enough to get the ball downfield to him. And, you know, so it's a combination of a lot of things. And, you know, it was really good to see him. You know, I love the way he attacks the football with his hands. And he saw a ball that, you know, most people, I think from where I was standing, I thought the ball was going to go over to the Patriots sidelines. And, you know, he jumps up and snatches it. And it was a really great play.
It seemed like your wide receivers, especially Corey, really embraced getting man-on-man matchups last week. The Colts seemed to do a little bit more zone. Mm-hmm. How does it change their job against that scheme?
Yeah, I think a lot. For most of this league, historically, it's been a, you know, it's a one-on-one matchup. You know, some guys will get doubled, you know, some defensive linemen, or you may double a receiver every once in a while, or you get doubled on a kickoff coverage. But when you show up to work, it's, you know, can I beat this guy? Can I block him? Can I pass rush against him? And so when you kind of go to a zone coverage defense or scheme, you know, I think guys, that spacing is critical. I think guys understand where they sit down in the zone and just have a good feel for running routes and be able to settle down where the quarterback can see you and give them, you know, a target in between the zone and just having some savvy.
I'm sure you hope it's not, but for young wide receivers like you have, can that be more difficult maybe to learn or to have the feel for that as opposed to just go beat the guy across from you?
You know, again, the job description is easy. It's get open and catch the ball, whether it's man or zone. So hopefully you know, we're doing a good enough job coaching them to be able to understand that and recognize the match coverage or zone coverage.
You mentioned Corey Davis' best asset. What would you say that is for T.Y. Hilton?
Speed, competitiveness. You know, he's a great route runner. I would say that those are a lot of things that I've witnessed firsthand. And for his size, I would say good play strength. I mean, you know, we're just – He's a good receiver. It'll be a tough challenge, and you know, certainly, you know, Andrew's got a lot of confidence in him.
How's Jack Conklin doing?
He's doing good. You know, I'd say he's progressing along well. You know, he'll have to wait till later in the week, I think, to officially get cleared because of the nature of our work today. But I'd say he's doing a lot better.
That was Titans coach Mike Vrabel at the podium. Former Titans receiver Chris Sanders. Vrabel, boy, he's really not saying anything anymore.
Keeping it close to the vest.
I mean, when he went over the difference between man and zone defenses, I almost fell out of my chair laughing. But Chris Sanders, former Titans receiver, will join us next. We'll get his thoughts from New England and his thoughts on Indy. It's Jared and the GM right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.